influence on the business. I came in, I was really into coins. I loved coins back in the 90s. I mean, I've loved them, period. But coins, collectible coins, numismatic coins, etc. And as I was in banking, I kind of got a lot of reputation for being really knowledgeable in coins. And I got to know a lot of, I guess you'd call them, you know, I guess everything from estate attorneys to pawn shops, antique shops, and just a number of people in general. The word kind of spread. I think the banking mentality is kind of like, you know, we're a high volume, low margin dealer. And so I came in to the business with that mentality, just thinking margins, looking at profit rather than percentages. And when I first got into this business, I had a lot of situations where local companies, if you will, actually attempted to include me in some collusive activities, collusion as they call it with Donald Trump, trying to get me to go along. They literally would contact me and say, hey, a person, you know, a woman or whatever, is going through town, or, you know, she's got this such and such collection, and we offered this, and they would literally collude with one another. And so they called me a couple times and said, hey, you know, this gal's coming around, she's got this, that. And I hate to admit it, folks, I did not participate, so don't take me wrong. And I would just say, well, I'm not interested in that. Well, they'd say, well, that's just the way it works. I'd say, okay, great, fine. They'd call back later and say, did you buy that collection? Yes, I did. What'd you pay for it? None of your business. Well, they didn't like that. And the other thing that I really tried to do is, bring in a lot of education to the consumer and providing a lot better product, good product. It was quite interesting that the local dealers, you know, they kind of sit back and they wait for somebody they can kind of tee up. And I hate to tell you that, but it's just kind of sad, but it's true. And they wait to buy things certain ways and just do things that aren't ethical. And that's just the truth. It may be unpleasant. It may not be fun to hear, but it's kind of what happened when I got here. So I started to put people into much better quality product. They would buy a good material, and they would sell it outside the area, and then they would keep the lower quality product, or what we call problem product, in our area. And I just thought that was really wrong. I brought in certification to the area, which is, you know, coins that are independently graded by a third-party grading service, and just started to really help people out. I mean, I've helped a lot of people make a lot of money. I'll be candid. I mean, and markets change and stuff, but good quality material doesn't go away. It never loses its sizzle or its pop. And, folks, junk is always junk. And I don't mean that, you know, people say, I want junk silver. I don't like that term. Old U.S. 90% silver is, you know, it's the old U.S. coinage, okay? So coins up until 1964 in the form of dimes, quarters, and half dollars were silver, 90%. And, you know, they're a great way to own silver, probably one of the best. And, you know, people, the choices are that, silver rounds, and other things. People call, come in, they like silver eagles. Silver eagles are made by the U.S. Mint. They have a $1 face value. They're made as a bullion coin with a $1 face value. Every other country has a higher face value. People will come in and they'll demand silver eagles. And they say, like the other day, I had a guy say, well, at least it's got some backing. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? Well, it's backed by the U.S. Mint. No, it's not. It was minted by the U.S. Mint, or they'll say it's backed by the Treasury or whatever. It was minted by the U.S. Mint, but the thing is, there's no backing. It's just an ounce of silver that happens to say $1 United States of America on it. If you're into that, get the old Morgans when they're available or whatever. But, I mean, silver is silver. You can get the old U.S. silver coin. It's dimes, quarters, and halves. Right now, they're the closest to silver of any of the products out there. You know, they're within a, I don't know what it is, 6% or 7% or whatever, which, you know, is really good in this market. Today, we saw the Dow take another stab, take another downturn. I've got so many notes I want to go over. I've got like a three-hour show, but it's all over the place. And the problem is some of it's just overall substantive, you know, foundational material. But when we're looking at what's going on, we're 8 days away from an election, folks. I think we're 8 days away. Personally, I think it's from the most important election in the history of our country. I mean, I wasn't around, obviously, in the early 1800s and 1700s, et cetera. Early 1800s, probably more appropriate. Obviously, I wasn't around for that. But, you know, those might have been kind of important, too. But this is, like, a huge deal. It's so hard for me to watch what's going on. I'm going to just kind of start throwing information out there. I've got notes I try to keep in my phone when things cross my mind. I definitely don't get everything that crosses my mind because it becomes wearisome. But they're not necessarily in order. So I kind of want to cover some stuff. Hopefully you'll forgive me for being a little scattered. The first thing that I think is so relevant, and, you know, I really believe, I mean, the Bible's crystal clear that God puts a man in and takes a man out. He puts a king in, he takes a king out. He is in control, okay? But, you know, what's interesting about that is what he does is in response to what we do. And by we, he judges a nation, he says, by what his people do, okay? His believers, we are his litmus test. We can backslide and do all kinds of things and ruin a nation. We can curse, if you will, or bad talk, or look down upon, or be contemptuous towards those around us. But ultimately, as his body, we are the litmus test. And we can say, oh, this place is going to hell in a handbasket. And look at all the immorality. Well, look at how wimpy and spineless God's children have become. Where are we? You know, well, we don't get, you know, we don't get the floor and they won't listen to what we say. Okay, well, why is there piles of Antifa and Black Lives Matter guys out there pounding the pavement? Where are we? I do know, you know, a lot of these groups will meet on the steps of various capitals and things like that. But, you know, during all this stuff going on, I'd always hear, you know, hey, we're having another protest down at such and such. You'd never hear a word about it, okay? Then you've got Facebook and Twitter and Google just shutting down every single thing that they disagree with, I guess, if you want to simplify it. You know, so the main thing is, like, if we're doing something that is good for us, it makes us feel good, it may, you know, hopefully influence politicians to do the right thing. But then on the other hand, we have to look at what we're doing. If there is Antifa events, folks, we're at a point where we need to unite. And we need to get down to these things and we need to stand our ground. We need to get down there, and I mean, and that's, it's risky. But look at our founders. What did they do? Whenever I hear people say, well, God's in control and do not, yes, he is, no doubt. But whenever I hear people go that road, there's two reasons they do it. One, it's to absolve themselves and alleviate their responsibility. Or two, it's because they're fear-bound and they're trying to give themselves peace of mind, okay? People get too anxious when dealing with this. You know, what makes a hero? Courage and bravery. Self-control. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The last one's self-control. In Greek, the last is first. You ever heard someone who said something like that? You ever heard someone who said, the first shall be last and the last first? That's called Jesus. Why did he say that? Because in Greek, that's the way they make lists. It also was in Hebrew. God says there's six things the Lord hates in Proverbs 6. He says, yes, depends on the translation, either yes or no, yes, seven. What? That doesn't make sense to you or me, but it makes good sense. If I give you a list, the top 10, blah, 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 and I go, number one. But what do we always do? We count backwards. Number 10, number 9, number 8. Why do we count backwards? Is that what counting's all about? No. They were at least smart enough to eliminate that foolishness. Well, you gotta, if you're speaking English and you got a list, you got something important there, you gotta go ahead and count the numbers backwards. That way you get to the important one last. No. In Greek, it goes to, they do it the opposite. The last is first. Self-control. Okay? That's why I say, what makes a hero? Somebody who can control themselves under adversity. Someone who steps up. They show bravery and courage. But what is that? It's strength in the face of challenge. When people say, oh, God's in control and I don't have to do anything, it's cowardice. I'm sorry. God blesses our actions. He loves us. He stands behind us. God can do whatever he wants. Think about it. Start back, you know, some of the miracles in the Bible. What happened at the Red Sea? Did Moses do anything before God parted the Red Sea? Read it. He held out his hand in faith. Okay? There's a step of faith. That's all it took. Strikes the rock, right? You know, he's with Pharaoh, throws down the staff. Everything comes with an action. Everything God does, he blesses our action. We have to act. I'm not talking about, you don't have to pack up, you know, the family and the Partridge family and the old bus and haul across the country. And, you know, we can't all do that. The people that can, God bless them, let them do it. Each one of us has a sphere of influence. And some of us have a profound sphere of influence, and we don't even think we do. I was talking to a Christian police officer the other day. You talk about a sphere of influence, right? He gets, you know, if he's praying and he's trusting God to be led into any situation that God wants him into, he has a sphere of influence. He understands the grace and mercy of God. He understands the love of God. He's a good man. And he's out there. He's spreading the love of Christ to these people. Now, along those same lines, did you happen to catch today? A New York police officer was suspended without pay. What for? Something horrible for saying Trump 2020. What? How dare he? That's true, folks. He was caught saying Trump 2020 and he was suspended without pay. Folks, we've lost it. I've said it before, but I mean it like I've never meant it. Freedom of speech is no longer free. They're stripping it away. This is what I'm saying, folks. How far does this go? And when all this started with COVID, people, I get guys after guys saying, I want to unify. I want unity. I want to unite. I want to bring people together. Pray. God will do that. One thing about believers, we have universal feelings and beliefs. Maybe not feelings, beliefs. Universal understandings. Isn't it interesting? You can go anywhere in the world and you can run into believers in Christ. And guess what? man, do you have a lot in common. It doesn't matter. There's nothing else like it. So if you're seeking God, it's kind of like when you're married. When I got married, and we were going to this marital counselor, he gave us this little real, you know, it's just a little wood triangle thing, and it had some writing on it. But it basically showed, and it was a candle holder, right? And the candle was the top. But it basically showed the man and the woman at the bottom. And if the more we seek God, the more we come closer together because we have a unifying belief, the unifying belief. Now, when I say this stuff, I made the mistake recently of reading a lot of writings from some other pseudo-Christian culty, you know, whatever you want to call it, Mormonism and things like that. And they have kind of a little extra stuff added in there. But with Christ and Christ alone, He's our Savior. He's our Lord and leader, period. And when we pursue Him as a group from different corners of the world, different ends of the earth, we end up at a unifying point. That's all I can say. I mean, as far as a unifying measure, I mean, we'd all like it. Somebody somewhere is going to get it going. They had the, you know, back in the 90s was Promise Keepers. That was a big deal for me. I liked it. But then what happens is that thing gets rolling. It's completely organic. It was by donation only. You'd show up at these events. You didn't have to give a penny. It was all about Christ and making men of God behave like men of God and educating them and building them up. And by the way, it wasn't the shame and guilt theology. And it was the growth was on fire. And then they hired a coach. Oh, man, I wish I could remember his name. Mick something. He ran Promise Keepers, but guess where he ran it? I'll never forget. I was signed up. I think it was Bill McCartney. And I'll never forget. He was the University of Colorado coach, and I can't remember. But anyway, that could be incorrect. But anyway, he took it over and manhandled it. They were having, a little bit of financial struggle here and there. So what do? If you've got the greatest faith movement in modern history and it's starting to struggle, do you manhandle it or do you God handle it? Do you pray more or do you just come in and say, I know how to handle this? So once it got manhandled, I'll never forget, I had paid to go to an arena, to a Promise Keepers event in Colorado. And then like a few months earlier, I get notified that it's been moved, you know, hundreds of miles away. I'd already had my hotel, my plane, everything. I canceled. Who does that? You know why? Because it was cheaper. Because you know how God's budget is. He's kind of short, you know. I mean, come on. But the point is, when man gets in control of these things, we screw them up. We got to let the Lord move. But we got to trust and pray and obey and follow His lead. And so we're sitting at a point, folks, where spiritually the election is not healing, okay? We have a massive, infected, gaping wound, and I'm sorry. We have spiritual brokenness in this nation. We have spiritual power in this nation. But we have to understand there's the political climate and environment, kind of praise the Lord, is the outward visual manifestation of our spiritual condition. I talk to people on the left and right, and they're nuts. They're like, this is crazy. You get the head barriers. You get the guys who are like, no, I don't really follow it. I don't know what's going on. And then you talk to them a little more, and all of a sudden out it comes. They follow it. Everyone does. This is crazy. I couldn't believe. So I can't believe the stuff that's going on. Today, I think. Is it tonight? I don't know. Maybe yes, tomorrow. Who knows? Amy Coney Barrett. Hopefully one of the best Supreme Court nominees in history or in modern history will be confirmed either today or tomorrow. So here's what the Democrats do. They're going to no-show. Not a one Democrat vote. And then you get these Republicans voting against it. Yikes. I can't. There's a couple of gals. Collins might be one of them. I don't remember. But they won't vote for it. That's going to be suicide. You don't do that. She's a good woman. And here's the kicker. They're buying the lie. I was listening to Schumer, as Trump calls him, crying Chuck Schumer, saying, oh, this is an unprecedented move, and this is the worst thing ever, and it's absolute, you know, they're taking the country hostage, and they're rushing everything through to blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Obama used to say, elections have consequences. Do you know that if Trump did not nominate and confirm Amy Coney Barrett, who's, by the way, appears to be a great woman, she's an originalist, she wants to know what the founders meant and intended, and that's what she says she wants to stick with, and it appears that that's how she rules. If Trump didn't do this, he would be the first president ever to not obey his constitutional duties. They're trying to deceive you and me, and you get these crazy people running through the airport, chasing Lindsey Graham, screaming, women at the top of her lungs. How can you, you know, it's just on and on. And then they play the anti-immigration lies. You know, Trump is locking people in cages and stripping away their children. I'll say in the debate, one thing that really frustrated me was they did say there's 500 and some children they cannot find the parents for. Trump said that's because a lot of these people come up with coyotes and, you know, cartel. Well, you may not know what a coyote is, but a coyote is somebody who specializes in getting people across the border. The price is big, okay? The price is large. They do terrible things. Sell people into sex slavery, prostitution, use them, beat them, abuse them, kill them, strip them all of everything they've got, put them into various forms of slavery. It's a terrible thing. But they're called coyotes. After the debate, we had the racial, oh, using the term coyote is a racial term and it is so offensive. What a bunch of sickos. These men take advantage of human life. What about them? What about going after these sick pigs? And I'm telling you, folks, there is a darkness in Mexico spiritually. A deep, deep darkness. Some of the most wretched, sick behavior comes out of there. There, as of a few years ago, there was over 60,000 murders in the last 10 years at the hands of these drug cartel. And they're heinously, hideously, disgustingly sick. I made the mistake one time of watching a video of something they did to somebody, and I've never been able to get it out of my head. I won't go into the details because you don't need to know it, but it was a mistake. I didn't realize what I was watching, and I'd gotten it from a pretty inside government source that I know who's involved with ICE, who is with ICE, and I just did not realize what they'd sent me. And to this day, as I speak of it, it's so sad. And I just, ugh, it's just beyond anything humans can do. There's a spiritual darkness. The North American continent is blessed, okay? There's stories, there's theories, you know, there's a rock in South America they found, which back, and this is just a theory, but under Solomon, he and King Hiram of Tyre sent people out around the world by ship to find gold and silver. In fact, in the Bible, it talks about that they found the mines of Ophir, which are, you know, people go, oh, we don't know where that is. Yeah. Except for in South America, on the eastern shoreboard, there's a humongous bay, massive, called the mines of Ophir, which are primarily depleted. They're still mining them. But they say, well, that couldn't be it, you know, and whatever. But they had so much gold and silver that it says in Jerusalem or in Israel that it was like stones. Gold and silver in the streets like stones. You think that'd be a tough place? That's something you want to pass on to your future relatives. And that's why to this day they find weird burials. I mean, they'll find jars buried in the ground with so much gold and silver you can't even believe it. So Solomon and King Hiram of Tyre sent them out. King Hiram of Tyre oversaw the Canaanites. Solomon was basically responsible for, you know, the, what would you call it, the eastern coast of the Mediterranean down through Egypt at the time. And there's a rock found in South America, Venezuela, I believe, where it says they shipwrecked right around that time that they were sent out by King Hiram of Tyre. And that they shipwreck, and it says the first thing they did was sacrifice a child to Molech, right? The fire god. Baal worship. So theories are that Solomon's, you know, descendants and the Egyptians ended up in North America, and the Canaanites ended up in South America and established it. And what do you get in South America? You do get the pyramids and all those structures they built, which, you know, of course, they'd copy the Great Pyramids of Egypt and things because it was phenomenal. But then what'd they use them for? Human sacrifice, to put it lightly. The movie Apocalypto by Mel Gibson before he did The Passion of the Christ is a really good narrative on what was going on. It's pretty intense. If you're a believer, it's history. It's a little intense. But it shows that by the time the Spaniards and the conquistadors showed up, it was already an absolute mess. God sent him there to clean up evil, to clean up the greatest evil beyond your wildest dreams I won't go into. North America was affected. Interestingly, I grew up in Montana around, you know, five reservations, and my dad was into Indian artifacts, and we know some people who specialize in them at a high, high level, some of the best in the world. The garb that the chieftain would wear is extremely similar to what we see the pharaohs wearing, except it was made out of different materials because of the different geography, you know, eagle feathers and things like that. But it's very similar. But America, it's that, believe me, we've had our times. But look at where we're at now. We are the most resource-rich nation in the world. Are you aware of that? And then you get crazy Biden and goofy Kamala Harris. We're going to shut down the oil industry and all that. Really? I mean, folks, this whole lie, they have zero oil and all these stories about how it's all going to run out and it's all made out of, the organic compounds of dinosaurs and it's all running out. Now we're fracking, which is you're just drilling sideways, and they act like it's turning the world upside down, and it's polluting. And then we've got the situation where, you know, there was some city where a guy went in and, you know, he was showing on a movie years and years ago, he could light the water on fire when it came out of the faucet. Well, then later on they showed you can do that all over the place. Why? Methane gas. Methane gas is coming up out of the wells. Big deal. The minute it hits the air, poof, it's gone. It doesn't affect your drinking water at all. But if you get the right pipe, you can light it, and as it comes out, you get a little flame. It's no big deal. But they make these terrible videos and scare these young kids and make them think all this crazy stuff. There's some kind of a contrasting. There's definitely a spiritual contrast between North and South America. That is one theory. But this country has been settled. It's God's chosen land. Israel was God's chosen land, no doubt. Apparently America was too. The greatest country in the history of the world. Wouldn't you think the devil would want to absolutely destroy us and pound us into the dirt? He is. What is our defense? Our faith, our God. We activate God, folks. God does what he does. Don't get me wrong. He spoke things into existence and he creates and he does all that, no doubt. But then we go to the next level where it says, you know, in the Torah, it talks where the Torah, the word or wisdom, as she's called, especially in Proverbs chapter 8, communicates with God and says, what good is a king without courtiers and people to willingly subject themselves to him and submit and worship him? It says God was pleased by this, so he created man, basically, in a nutshell. That's a nutshell. Makes sense. We have to have free will. Otherwise, what good are we? God creates angels and all whatever else, and he makes them to worship him all the time. It'd be like you having, you know, recordings all over your house saying, oh, you're amazing, you're great, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're... But you know what? That's not free will. You made that to say that. If you made something that could give you free praise, willing praise, now you have a relationship. And we have the ability to reject God or accept God. We have the will ability to struggle through life and wonder what's going on and make decisions and do things to glorify and honor him. And that's what we need to do. And I'm telling you, folks, fear and anger are our greatest nemesis. Fear is terrible. And we have to be really careful that we don't fall prey to it. What do the Democrats constantly do? You know, Joe Biden in the debate, you know, 220,000 Americans have died from COVID, and there's 200,000 more are going to die by the end of the year. And we're going into a really dark winter and all this stuff. And it's like, if you don't vote for me, all hell's going to break loose. Wrong. What kind of an attitude is that? And then they criticize Trump. Because on a phone call with Bob Woodward, who wrote a condescending book about him, Bob says, why'd you downplay this? Well, Trump, I think, took the bait a little. And he said, well, I downplayed it because I didn't want to make the people panic. Well, I don't think Trump really downplayed it. But, I mean, he didn't upplay it. He didn't say, oh, my gosh, my people, you have got to run to the hills and hide. This is the end. This is the most dangerous thing ever. And everybody's so afraid of this COVID, folks. It's a joke. I was reading statistics last night. They're terribly, ridiculously non-significant. Trump had COVID, on Thursday, and he was back to work Monday, or whatever it is. I mean, really? How serious is that? He's in the high-risk category, right? And then I'm talking to a waiter this weekend, and he goes, well, the mistake that Trump made is using stem cells. He shouldn't have used stem cells. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I go, he didn't use stem cells. Yes, he did. I said, no, he did not. He used remdesivir and Regeneron. No. So he goes and taps on his phone while he's at my table, and he goes, you're right. I don't know where I heard that. I said, you've been lied to. He goes, well, I know. I saw it on the web. And I said, oh, that makes it true. Just always something more. Always something more. Folks, I grew up in an era, old man, that... I grew up with journalistic integrity because when things were published, we were taught the publisher had to verify everything and verify and clarify. And when I grew up, man, you wrote a paper and you had bibliography after bibliography after bibliography because you had to document the source, the original source for the most part, of each of the claims you made. When you get into deeper and heavier papers and you get up into the PhD level, Every single reference has got to be an original, documented, and verifiable source. Okay? Now with the internet, people can just pull stuff out of the you-know-what, and they just make it up and slap it out there. Okay? Journalistic integrity, it's even worse. Newspapers can lie. Online sources lie. Perceptions are twisted. Facts are twisted. You are living in the great age of deception, the almighty age of deception. You have got to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves, wise as the devil, it says. You got to be that smart. Wise. Wise is more important than smart. Wise is the wisdom is the application of knowledge. You've got to be wise. You've got to know what you're getting fed. And everyone's got an opinion. Oh, yes, we all have our opinion. But we have to guard our hearts and minds and just seek the truth. But remember to seek the truth no matter the cost. Something I want to touch on real quick and buzz through. Judge Amy Coney Barrett, right? They're like, Trump's rushing her through and this is unprecedented and blah, blah, blah. So I get a list here of all of the confirmed judges, okay, under various presidents, right? We can go, I mean, if you go to the beginning, it's crazy. You got everybody, you got under George Washington, you've got all this, these people, you know, Oliver Ellsworth or J. Oliver Ellsworth. What is this? Let's see how this goes here. Hang on, I'll make sense of this here. Okay, so that's who they replaced. The nominee was Ellsworth, okay? But anyway, here's the deal. He was nominated March 3rd, 1796, confirmed March 4th. Samuel Chase, nominated January 26th, confirmed January 27th. William Cushing, January 26th, January 27th. So that's that. So then we go to John Adams, president, right? We got, you know, people that are John Jay, famous, right? December 18th, 1800, nominated. December 19th, confirmed. John Marshall, one of the more famous Supreme Court justices, Justice Marshall, nominated January 20th. He's in January 27th. They must have had a long week going there. Maybe a snow week or something. I don't know. But the thing is, it's a week. And then there's less. There's less. There's Bushrod Washington, December 19th, nominated. December 20th, confirmed. Thomas Jefferson, he's got, you know, the same thing. We've got December 14th, Brockhurst Livingston. He's confirmed December 17th. And there's more, okay? William Johnson, nominated March 22nd, confirmed 24th. President Madison, James Madison. We've got, it goes on like this, folks. November 15th to November 18th. Multiples. There's two there. There's February 21st nomination to John Quincy Adams. You ever heard of him? I think he might have become president. And then he's February 21st, he's in. February 22nd, he's confirmed, you know, and it goes up like this. So we can keep going up and up. You know, it just goes this way. So you're like, well, that's a long time ago. Yeah, back then it was different, okay? So let's go to Theodore Roosevelt. How about nominated William Moody, December 13th? I'm sorry, nominated December 12th, confirmed December 13th. February 19th, William Day. And confirmed February 23rd, Oliver Holmes. Nominated December 2nd, 1902. Confirmed December 4th, etc. You get my point? And it keeps going like this. We got Woodrow Wilson doing the same. We got Warren Harding doing the same. We've got, it goes on and on. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. He's got a lot of the same. I mean, he's got guys nominated and confirmed on the same day. June 12th, 1941. He's got June 12th to June 17th. He's got January 4th, January 6th. January 5th, January 17th, January 15th, January 25th. That's all FDR. Harry Truman, get it? Keeps going, all right? This is just how it works. How about JFK? He nominates Byron White. on April 3rd of 62. April 11th, he's confirmed. And it goes on this way, folks. They started this mess under Bork. It's called being Borked, where they just ripped and raped and rattled this guy's life. This is the new Democrat mantra, the new norm. It's to steal and kill and destroy. Scorched earth policy. They destroy anyone who comes in their way. They're a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats who cannot accept losing. They lost the election. And do you think that their tantrums of running around with baseball bats and trying to shatter everything in their way is going to get them their way? If it does, run for the hills, folks. As Christ said, pray that it doesn't come in the winter. I mean, this stuff is the what they are doing is what's truly unprecedented. The stuff that, and this all started, folks. You know, think about what's going on with Hunter Biden. I don't know how much you watch this, but this is Joseph Biden's son. Levels of corruption you can't even fathom. And the media won't touch it. I mean, we've got bank wires, $3.5 million from Moscow to, you know, Hunter Biden. And then Joe Biden's like, I've never taken any money from a foreign source. No, because they washed it and scrubbed it through whatever methods, like your son. But I mean, come on, people, are we this dumb? You know, it takes a little bit of wisdom. You don't just listen to what people say, listen to what they don't say. You know, he doesn't say, I have never, ever taken any bribes or corrupt payments or any handouts whatsoever from anyone during my tenure. I believe that Trump can say that. Can you imagine if his son did any of this stuff? I mean, Hunter Biden brings a laptop into a repair shop drunk. He's on the camera, highly inebriated. It sits there for 90 days so that it becomes property of the laptop repair. And then they have to look at it and figure out what to do with it. And they find pictures of Hunter Biden smoking a crack pipe. And they find pictures of him engaging in a lot of inappropriate, we shall say, sexual activity. They find emails. First, it goes to Rudy Giuliani, New York State Attorney General, previous New York mayor. And he finds child pornography on there. So off to the FBI it goes. Problem is, why'd they hang on to this since last December? For the October surprise? Yep. Well, they didn't know in December that Biden was the nominee, did they? I can't recall. Maybe they do. Who knows? Doesn't matter. They hung on to it. That was a bit of a political move. But all these things, are they going to work together? You know, think about Nixon. Can you imagine the media going, shh, don't say anything about that Watergate thing. Shh. This is what's going on with Biden, folks. This is what's going on in our world. So I'm just telling you, we got this big election in 8 days. And I want to tell you something. Any of you who say you're not going to vote, it's not that hard. You say you're not going to vote, you're lying to yourself. You're voting for Biden. I don't care what you say. You don't vote, it's a vote for Biden. This year is about coming out and fighting evil. You know, and I heard some black guy talk, say, all that's necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to vote for Trump. I mean, this is the kind of garbage they're spewing. I'm going to say all that's necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. I think that's the actual saying. You think? So anyway, we've got Pelosi being so political. And I mean, I'm kind of 50-50. They're like, oh, she's holding up the stimulus bill. You know, the stimulus bill. This COVID thing is destroying countries. Today or yesterday it came out, Europe is in terrible shape. Folks, they're coming out now saying that they may have missed as many as 2 million COVID cases. Okay. Now, I think COVID's a farce. I think coronavirus is real. I think there's a genetically modified version of it floating around out there. There's no one documented as dying from just COVID. There's always additional underlying conditions. And then you say that to people and they go, yeah, but my mom has COPD and my dad has this and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm super scared. Folks, there's stuff everywhere that'll kill you. You're just not aware of it. It's all around us. We don't run around like chickens with our head cut off and in fear. We don't do it. We don't do it. And this mask thing, folks, period. Masks don't work. I feel like, you know, when they make you wear masks, it's like the little monkey with the hat and the cymbals. They're saying, dance for me, you know? Put your hand on your head and spin around in circles. I mean, it's absolutely making you act like a fool. What is next? Hazmat suits? For a phony disease that no one even knows anything about? That coronavirus has been around forever. It's the flu. I was with a doctor, a very seasoned veteran doctor, Friday night for a considerable amount of time. He was here. We're working on some pretty... he has a very extensive coin collection and investment portfolio, and we're working on some stuff. He said, it's the flu. It's been around forever. Coronavirus is everywhere. That's why they chose it, because you will continue to test positive forever and ever. And then you add in the inaccuracy of the tests, because it can't distinguish this COVID-19 from a regular coronavirus, so they just constantly keep that revolving door rolling around and round and round till we finally go, we've had enough. But who's going to give us the information? Nobody has the guts. I watch all these various media sources. No one has the guts. No one. Not even the conservative sources. They play along because why? They don't want to be the last man out. They don't want to look like a fool, because that's what the rest of the media is going to do to them. Oh, you want people to die, and you know, and oh, you're going against the science. You know, we've got Joe Biden. I'd follow the science. All you got to do is wear a mask, he says. Well, type in Google, masks don't work. And you will find that they've been doing studies since, you know, forever for healthcare workers. And N95 masks don't stop any of this influenza or colds or any of it. Doesn't work. Okay? Just does. The science shows it doesn't work. Some of these journal articles you run, it's RC Reader is the website. You go, masks don't work. You scroll. It depends. They keep burying it. But it's under the website RC Reader. You're going to see where they've been testing this stuff forever because they care about the health of healthcare workers. They don't work. It's a scam. They got you jumping through hoops and doing cartwheels, and it's forced compliance to show you what they can make you do. You're getting used to it now, though, aren't you? Well, honey, we've got to grab our masks if we're going to go eat somewhere. My wife and I went to a restaurant last night that we've liked for a long time. 7 o'clock, they're closing. They finally let us in. We're the only ones there. They got some new waiters, never waited before. They said it changed ownership because the first owner went under. Oh, lovely. Good old Jay Inslee and all these morons. This is so bad, folks. When I was talking about Europe, I mean, they are shutting down the globe. We have not even begun to see this. None of these hotels and none of this stuff are offering the appropriate discounts and motivation yet, because they don't know where things are going, and they don't want to be the guys saying, oh, COVID discount, because it's not cool. Aircraft. I have friends that have flown. I won't do it. I have friends that have flown. They said it's horrible. You have to wear the mask 24/7 everywhere you go, in the airport, out of the airport. Two of my friends were saying their ears got so sore from the bands, they couldn't stand it anymore. And you got these nutty stewardesses, and these people are enforcing this stuff more than ever. Airplanes have had the worst air ever. Are you kidding? They wouldn't even put in HEPA filters forever. I don't even know if they have them now. If they must not, or the air wouldn't be so bad on them. I mean, like they've ever cared about air quality. You're up in the sky. You've got so much fresh air that they could bring through what's called pitot tubes. Well, they won't do it. They just keep recycling the same air. I've flown all over the world so many times I can't count, and you sit, you get to smell the bathrooms and everything in the air. I mean, come on. When does this end? This is going on and on. 2 weeks to flatten the curve, you know. How do I sound real positive, don't I? I mean, just realize we're, you got my point. Oh, how about that? So anyway, we got Pelosi's, you know, hurting. She wants to hurt people for her perceived personal and political gain. We've got the mob and the media that are calling this Biden email scandal a new Russian. First, they said it was a Russian disinformation campaign. Then what? Well, when all the, you know, the government officials came out and said, definitely not, this is fact and verified. They say, well, I like this one. Now they say, well, there's no proof of anyone doing anything illegal. Is that our new standard for politicians? As long as they don't commit a felony, they can do whatever they want just because we're too dumb to have a law yet that says you can't have your family members taking bribes from all these other countries while you're in a position of the vice president of the United States? You really need to be told, well, you know, it's not illegal. He's just outselling my name. And then they say in the emails from Hunter, well, the big man, Joe Biden, he gets 10%, 10 to 50%. You know, I mean, really? That guy's corrupt. He's a mobster. This is not a good situation. No proof of anyone doing anything illegal. I mean, is that the litmus test for our politicians? Or is integrity and ethics? Folks, let me tell you something. Just because something's legal does not make it right. And guess what? Here's a one for you. Just because it's illegal doesn't make it wrong. Now, we have to be obedient to the laws. Believers, don't get me wrong there, but there are some screwed up laws out there. Our prisons are packed with people that are in for stupid, foolish stuff. You've got like Biden passes the crime bill in 94, locks up more minorities than ever before, piles of them. You got Kamala Harris. She, as a prosecutor in San Francisco, put away more minorities than any other person in the history, any other state prosecutor in the history of the United States. Oh, but she's so for minorities. You know, when people can lie, wow, can they pull a lot off? You look at Biden's crime. You put Biden and Kamala together, they're corrupt. They're bad. And then you got Kamala or Biden saying, well, in the debate, well, you know, we let, you know, and Trump's like, why didn't you get him out, Joe? Why didn't you get him out? You had 8 years as VP after that. Well, because the Republicans, you know, gridlock. Really? You couldn't have wrote a bill that the Republicans would agree to get all these people out of jail who were technically innocent in for minor nonviolent infractions because of your crazy bill with federal mandatory minimums destroying lives and families? And then he's like, well, during my tenure, 37,000 people were released from federal prison. Well, Trump didn't catch the phraseology. He's a liar. Let me tell you what that means. He's right. I did the research. 37,000 people were released from federal prisons only because they'd served their sentences for a variety of crimes. It had nothing to do with him. What a crock. Folks, you got to get 5 or 10 people to vote. According to the statistics they're spitting out there, you got to get people out there to vote or we're going to have a problem. We got Biden, you know, on tape bragging about getting the prosecutor fired that was investigating his son. He said, or I won't give you the $1.5 billion. And he says, you know, I'm leaving in 6 hours. You better get it done. And he says, you know, he said some blankety blank. Son of a bee, he says. He gets fired. Brags about his power. What an arrogant, arrogant guy. How about Hunter Biden's two business partners are in jail? You know, Hunter Biden's email claims he's broke, going through a divorce, and he's got to get this money fast. And he's peddling the Biden name. I mean, it goes on and on. We're short on time. Folks, I'll tell you, I don't care, election or not, what's coming. We got hyperinflation out of control. They're going to pump through another COVID bill. It doesn't matter which way this is going to go. There's going to be fire and sparks and lightning. Either way, if Biden gets in, run for the hills, run for the hills. if Trump, you know, Trump will win. The question is what happens to the House or in the Senate. You got to watch out for that. We've got to maintain control of that. But even so, these tantrumic, you know, liberals, they're not going to stop. And they're destroying everything. They'll kill people. I mean, these liberals have body counts all around them. The Clintons and Obamas, these people literally have body counts around them. People die. I could go through more, but I don't have time right now. They need to get out. But I'm telling you, no time left. Get your money secured in precious metals. You can cash out your 401k still by the end of the year. No penalty under 59 and a half, and you got 3 years to pay the taxes. And if you change your mind at the end of 3 years, you can return the money, especially if it grows and whatnot. Give us a call and talk to us about it. Get your money secured. Things are going to get nuts. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Bye-bye.